Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you as always. You're going to be glad you stayed with me because we got our good friend Steve Forbes back on the show. Steve has been a good friend to me, and whether you know it or not, he's your good friend, small business owners. And if you've been listening to him wherever he talks, and especially as he's spent time with us on our show, you know that he's your good friend. He's the president of Forbes. He's editor-in-chief of Forbes magazine. He is the author of a number of books, brand spanking new book out that we're going to talk about in just a little bit, Power, Ambition, Glory, which he co-authored with John Pravas. Steve Forbes, welcome back to the show.
Good to be with you, Jim. Thank you.
It's good to have you back. Did I say his last name correctly?
Prevost? John Prevost, yes.
Prevost. Okay, I wasn't sure where the emphasis was. Steve, I want to talk about that, the book, in just a little bit. But before we do, we've got the 4th of July coming up. America's Independence Day is this weekend. And I consider you to be one of the great Americans, Steve. You know that, how much I admire the hard work and the good work that you do on behalf of our country and our marketplace. I know my audience would really love to hear your thoughts on this. And just as a note, in the beginning of the hour, I started encouraging my audience to take 5 seconds and say, and over that period of time, Declaration of Independence. Say that out and stretch it out a little bit so it doesn't just roll off the tongue as if it didn't mean anything. What do you think?
I think it's a good idea because the Declaration of Independence was not just a declaration for America, it was a declaration for the world, really unleashing the creative human spirit, relying on people for the consent of the governed. And while we've been through many turbulent times since 1776, including achieving that independence, the United States has been that shining city on a hill, and the world is infinitely better off today than it was then, or 100 years ago, or 50 years ago. And if it wasn't for the United States of America, this world would be a much a less populated place, a much poorer place, and a far less free place.
Well, there's no question about that. Well said, Steve. And you know, you talked about you're talking about how the world has been changed. The concept of freedom, Steve, was not even on anybody's radar screen anywhere else on the planet until our founders pre-76 and all. They were writing about this years and years before. This concept of freedom was, even though England had the common law and they already had their own Bill of Rights and that sort of thing, still they had a king that was the Lord over them. And so the idea of freedom sans kings was a novel, wasn't it?
It was indeed. And even though Britain at the time was evolving towards what we call now a constitutional monarchy, the idea of people as subjects rather than free citizens, that was a new idea, and that's why the ideals of the American Revolution really pushed us towards more and more boundaries of freedom and of liberty, the opportunity to pursue happiness, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and it certainly stood out as an example to the world, and we demonstrated that self-government worked, and one of the key reasons that self-government worked was precisely because we had freedom on the local level as well, being able to do civic organizations. We're a great country of joiners, and we have countless civic organizations, charitable organizations. And you saw an example of it just the other day with that stirring rescue of that woman. Their car went into the river, and there was a construction crew, and they got the crane. A guy wrapped himself in a chain, went down and rescued that woman from a raging river. And that was done on the spur of the moment. And that kind of initiative is very, very much a part of the American spirit.
The Greeks have a word for that, Steve. It's called agape love. Love, it's the love that you give to someone that you don't even know.
Exactly. And the self-initiative. These guys see a situation, instead of waiting for somebody to tell them what to do,
Right.
They sprung into action.
There's another thing that has arisen out of all this, Steve, that I haven't heard a lot of people talk about, and it's the concept of a middle class. I mean, America's middle class has helped to make America great, and now we see middle class rising up in China, middle class rising up in Iran, in India, in Brazil. I mean, the middle class is an important phenomenon, isn't it, in liberty?
Well, it gets to Abraham Lincoln's phrase, that is improving one's lot in life.
Yeah.
The opportunity to get ahead and improve. And the thing about the American system, well, there are numerous variants of it, the idea is that everyone gains.
Right.
That it's not just taken
right.
from one. It's not zero sum.
It's not zero sum, exactly. Hey, Steve, I got to stop you. Take a quick break. Right back with Steve Forbes. I told you we'd get smarter and have a good time when Steve joined us. We're going to talk about power, ambition, glory, right after these messages. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you for checking it out, using it to your advantage. We've got lots of stuff there. Thousands of interviews that we've done in the past with outstanding small business experts like our good friend Steve Forbes, who's with us right now, and all the interviews that we've done with the 1,500 Brain Trust members, the largest community of small business experts on the planet, probably in the galaxy, too. And you can find my blog there, my knowledge base, AskJim.biz is there, and my newsletter, lots and lots of stuff there. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blassingame. Steve Forbes is our guest, president of Forbes, and the editor-in-chief of Forbes magazine, the author of a number of books, including Flat Tax Revolution, which is still one of my favorite books. And then the new book that he's written with John Previs, the book is called Power, Ambition, Glory. Steve, what gave rise to this book?
Well, it came about because I read one of John Previs's books. He's a classicist who now teaches at Eckerd College in Florida on Hannibal crossing the Alps mm-hmm. with those elephants. Enormous feat, especially in wintertime. I wrote a review of the book, sent it to John, and he said, let's get in touch. He was doing a history of six ancient leaders and got the idea that we should maybe make some parallels to modern business leaders because, as you know, Jim, while times and circumstances change, human nature does not, and the lessons of leaders, both ancient and modern, I think ring true today, whether those who do great things, coping with crises, those who overreach, those who descend into corruption. You've seen it all in history. You're mm-hmm. seeing it again play out today.
Absolutely. One of the stories that I tell about Hannibal, that I don't know if it's true, but it's a wonderful story, and I think it may be true, that they were stuck in the Alps with the elephants. And trying to get through the pass, as you guys report in your book, but I don't know. I just got your book yesterday, so I've spent a lot of time in it, but I don't think I found this part. But apparently, or allegedly, his generals came back and said, "We can't make it through." And Steve, do you know where I'm going with this?
Oh, the rock and blowing up the rock.
No, I understood that he said to them was, "Well, guys or gentlemen, we either have to find a way or make a way."
Yes, and he had that attitude, and one of the examples was they came to a point, and there was this huge rock blocking their way, and they couldn't move the thing, so what do they do? Hannibal remembered that if you do something with vinegar, you can make the thing explode, and so they took all the wine and poured it on and did this formula that he had learned and blew the rock up. It was amazing.
Chemistry by Hannibal, huh?
So he was very much of a man who could cope with on-the-ground crises as well as cope with or think of strategically.
Well, which is are great stories for entrepreneurs, aren't they, Steve?
It is indeed, and that's all part of risk-taking, and Hannibal combined extraordinary risk-taking, though, with also a sense of limits. For example, when he got through the Alps, he beat the Romans on the battlefield, but he also recognized he did not have the strength mm-hmm. with his army to take and hold Rome itself. His strategy was to break their will, shatter their morale, and wear them down. But he couldn't get proper support from his home government to do this, so ultimately he was defeated. But he knew when to innovate, knew when to pull back, So that sense of proportion, that sense of judgment, combining innovation with also a sense of not pushing further than your resources will take you, that was the essence of Hannibal, and also is the essence of entrepreneurship. And the other thing that comes out of the book, Jim, is that everyone is going to, every entrepreneur, every leader is going to face a crisis. No matter how good you are, something's going to happen that's going to hit you, and you have to respond like Hannibal did in the Alps,
right,
or business leaders today, like the government getting involved, or something happens with a natural disaster. Something's always going to hit, and being able to respond to those things, those unexpected things, is also the essence of effective leadership.
Well, no, absolutely, and I like your perspective. And folks, this is all through the book. They draw all these parallels throughout the book between the great leaders of history, even some of the ones who, you know, maybe were a little ignoble, and comparing that to current leaders that you and I know, but also, you know, every one of these stories are there. You and I can see ourselves in these stories, and so I encourage you to check it out. The book is called Power, Ambition, Glory. Steve, in the book you write, our times cry out for leadership of all kinds. And I've often lamented that we have a dearth of leadership in Washington, D.C., for example. But lately I've admitted to myself that perhaps instead of saying leadership, because someone could be a great leader but be demented, you know, have bad ideals, when maybe instead of saying leadership, I should have been saying people with values. What do you think?
Well, values, having a sense of proportion, is the essence of long-term, lasting, effective leadership. A good example, Jim, is take Alexander the Great. Mm-hmm. And Aristotle taught Alexander as a young man when he was a kid. And one of the things Aristotle tried to implant in Alexander was that you have to learn to conquer yourself. If you want to lead or conquer others, you have to conquer yourself, i.e. control your passions. And Alexander never learned that lesson. And so his own passions mm-hmm. ended up destroying himself. He turned on his generals. They turned on him. They poisoned him. And as soon as he died, his empire flew apart. Unlike, say, Cyrus the Great, who created the Persian Empire,
right,
he put in structures that enabled that thing to last for centuries. Mm-hmm. You see it in business today. When the entrepreneur goes, oftentimes the thing goes. And having succession is vitally important.
Well, and you guys pointed out that Cyrus was a great facilitator of different people, of different groups of people, and bring in different ideas, and that was one of the ways he was successful.
Yes, tolerance.
Tolerance, exactly. That's an excellent word to use. Let's take a quick break, folks. Right back with Steve Forbes. We've got more to come after these messages. We're going to get Steve to weigh in on topics, the debates of the day, right after these messages, and also the economy. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Don't want to miss a second of our opportunity with our good friend Steve Forbes, who's with us right now. Steve is the author, along with John Previs, of the brand-new book, Power, Ambition, Glory. Steve, it's just out right now, isn't it?
It is. It just came out a couple of weeks ago, so it's in bookstores and on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com as well.
Forward by Mayor Rudy Giuliani, America's mayor. That's an outstanding forward, too. I encourage you to check the book out. It's a beautiful book, inside and out. Steve, tell us about Forbes.com.
Well, Forbes.com, its traffic has never been better, Jim. We now have almost 20 million unique visitors a month.
Wow.
We have great new additions to the site. One of our features is a video called Intelligent Investing, where I interview for a half hour, great money managers, people with something that investors and small business people should hear from people like Jack Bogle, who created Vanguard,
right,
from nothing years ago. And we also have part of the new site is Forbes Woman, about women and executive women in business. So we're moving ahead on it, and we've got affiliated sites like Real Clear Politics and others. Mm-hmm. Investopedia, which are also doing well, so the traffic is good. And like you, we're hoping the economy will be allowed to get better. It would if they'd leave it alone, and we get some of this marketing money moving again.
Exactly. And of course, the magazine. Don't forget the Forbes magazine. You can find wherever magazines are sold, and by subscription, you can subscribe on the website too. By the way, Steve, last thoughts. Big debates going on right now. But the big one, the mother of all debates, and where President Obama and his and people who think like him on this issue have pushed all their chips to the to the middle of the table, and that's health care.
You bet.
It's the most dangerous, isn't it?
Health care.
Yeah. Tell us about what do you think?
Well, it would be a disaster because nationalizing health care, they want to do it through this new insurance company. They want government-run sort of Medicare, Medicaid for all, and would make our private insurers part of the government. But when you look at the finances of Medicaid and Medicare, one, it's rife with fraud. Two, we subsidize it. When anytime you pay for health insurance premiums as a private business or individual, $100 billion of those dollars each year go to subsidize Medicare and Medicaid. Mm-hmm. So the government is not doing fair reimbursement. And in terms of outcomes, Jim, you look at outcomes in this country versus other countries. In America, you have prostate cancer, 80% chance of recovery. Britain and Germany, 50%.
Wow.
You don't get innovation. So This is literally life and death.
It really is, isn't it? I mean, this is monumental, changing the direction of not only the America, but the way we think about. I mean, this is taking us back. This on the in a week where we're celebrating our independence, Steve, we're talking about relinquishing some of our independence in this debate, aren't we?
We are indeed, and that's why we have to recognize that the best way to have people get health care, best way for people to move ahead in this world is precisely through free enterprise. Jim, it was government catastrophes, mistakes that led to this crisis that we have, and free enterprise, entrepreneurial capitalism can get us out of it.
Well, there's no question about it. And see, the thing that I pointed out recently, Steve, is that the health care opportunities to fix our current health care system has not been allowed to happen through the marketplace because the people who want the government solution have been blocking those in Congress, haven't they? Association health plans, like putting a lid on health savings accounts, those kinds of things.
Exactly, or allowing businesses to pool together,
right?
Shopping across state lines,
mm-hmm.
And so it's amazing. The more the government fails, the bigger it gets.
What are the chances that this could pass, Steve?
It could pass, and the only way it's going to be stopped is by we the people. The big business is not going to do it. You saw sadly what Walmart did the other day.
Can you believe that? That was clearly a deal that they cut with the unions, wasn't it?
It was indeed. Big government, big business, big labor.
Yeah.
And that's why entrepreneurs have to band together and say, no, this is we want the country free for everyone. We don't want dictation from anyone.
I have to tell you that the deal that Walmart cut this week will make me never shop at Walmart again.
It's sad.
For years, they were
at the forefront of doing value for everybody.
They went over to the dark side with that one and threw everybody else under the bus. But clearly, Steve, I only got a few seconds. There are certain Democrats in the Senate that will stop this, and that's all there is to it, right?
It's the only way, and thankfully elections do come up, and moderate Democrats know that this stuff can be used against them, and that's where Ronald Reagan's wisdom comes in, Jim. He liked to say, if you want to change minds on Capitol Hill, you won't do it through sweet reason. You'll do it through the force of public opinion.
Absolutely. Well said from the wisdom of Steve Forrest. Thanks, Steve, for being here. Good job today. We'll see you next time. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'll be back tomorrow.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.